sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahadiryan karavavahai, tejasvinavahitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places. Page 144. A Prashandi is one who considers the great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Hari Bhakti Vilas 7, 117. The conclusion is that we should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord, nor equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of the demigods or human beings. 29156-158. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. Footnote 45. This is a quote. This is a verse quoted from Sri Narada Pancharatra. Venkatabhata then said, I am an ordinary fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. Whatever you say, I accept as truth. Srila Prabhupada. This is the way to understand the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said very much the same thing. Sarvam etad ritam manye yanmam mam vadasi ke shavam. Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Deva Nadanabaha. O Krishna, I totally accept this truth, all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14. It is not possible to understand the truth about the pastimes of the Lord simply by using our own logic. Our own logic, argument, and academic education. We must receive bona fide information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Arjuna received information when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. We have to accept the Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature in good faith. These Vedic literatures are the only source of knowledge about the Lord. We must understand that we cannot comprehend the absolute truth by the speculative process.
This is the only way to get the truth by a descending process.
Yes, it's the only way. You can't get by another way. Because we're working with material matter. And Krishna is the source of matter. He's beyond matter. So how by matter you'll understand what's beyond? Right? You know, it's just like saying we study a table and then we'll understand the source of trees. Or something, you know. It's just it's beyond the capacity, right? And it's not illogical. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says because that the Lord is inconceivable. That is a pretty standard kind of understanding. So if we accept He's inconceivable, that means by our material intelligence we can. So that means then the Lord being beyond the material, then it's it's not by material we'll understand, and he being the source of all this material, it's only by his revelation that we'll understand. So we see how great personalities before have studied, how great personalities have practiced, how they've attained perfection. Right? And we see ourselves, just by taking up the process, we see the effect. So then one can have faith that, yes, it's in these shastras. And then you apply it, and as it's going, you use it. Right? And so that's just how it's done. Because, see, it's by hearing, then we remove doubt. Right? Doubt, we try for misgivings also if we can, but at least we get rid of the doubts. Then we, having removed the doubt, that's so that we can apply it. Right? Then it goes to manana. So then we start to apply it. By applying it, we get an understanding. Right? Now, if we continue applying it with that understanding, then we'll get realization. Right? Then we're not dependent upon the rules of scriptures to appreciate, you know, God's position, because there's some realization. You know what I'm saying? So that this is the process. This is what everybody else does. This is that, and we see they get good results. You say, well, we don't know about that. You don't know about anything. The advertisement says, buy this, you'll be happy. Is everybody happy? No, so then, you know, so at least here we see that it's consistent. What's being said is consistent. It always works. All aspects of the 14 books of Vedic knowledge all connect to each other. There's consistency all throughout. How the spiritual is there, the reflection is the material, how the living entity can uplift themselves out of this. All these things are there. And so then, and you try it yourself and you see there's a difference. That's what he used to tell people. He says, you try chanting. You chant for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, stop. You know, but, you know, generally they move into the temple, so they didn't stop. Yeah. So that's the position, is that this is the only way to do it. There is no other way. So that's why it's mentioning that these other ways, what is there? Logic, argument, academic education, because this is how we think we'll understand. I have an academic education. Of course I'll understand. You know, I've heard it. Somebody works in one area and they want to know something about a curriculum. And he said, yeah, you come, we'll discuss it. No, no, you just send it. I'm a PhD. I'll understand everything. It's kind of like, what illusion are you in? Even the academy that you have the PhD from will not agree with that. You know your field. You don't know another field. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. If, let's say, you know language, it doesn't mean that you'll understand math. But you think, no, I'm a PhD, I'm smart, I can understand everything. It's like you can't even understand material things, let alone spiritual. Otherwise, if you could understand everything, why aren't all the PhDs billionaires? There's a good chance, if you check, there's not one PhD who's a billionaire. You know? And if they are, it has nothing to do with their PhD. You know, they just got that for fun or something. You know what I'm saying? So what are they talking about? So that's the whole thing, is that, yes, you use whatever your material qualifications, you know, that's fine, but you don't think that by that you'll know God. By that you improve. That makes the quality of devotional service. That's like saying, you know, the quality of the paint job on the car is what makes the difference in performance. You know, it's like, yeah, it's that, you know. How you say, the clothes make the man. So, that's the whole thing, is that, no, it's not understood. We have an inherent nature. That means we have the transcendental inherent nature, and that's what we're supposed to be trying for. Then we have a conditioned nature that comes out by association and education. And when that comes out, then that's what you have. You don't have something else. You can't change it. You know, it's not like you can change your heads or something. You know, you know, you're going out to dinner, so we'll put on the other head, you know, like that. And honey, you got it on backwards again. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah. You know? I don't know, this bolt doesn't go in anymore, you know? So that's not how it works. That's what it is. Now, the living entity, you know, situate themselves, and he endeavors for spiritual values. He maintains his body, and he engages his nature according to what it is. So that nature that he has, that will be used to maintain himself. That's the varna. And within that, he'll also engage himself in the Lord's service. So whatever it is, you engage it in the Lord's service. It's not that that makes cooking. Right? It's like you have this whole kitchen. Which preparation you're making, you engage those facilities. But it's not that those facilities make the cooking. No, the cook makes the cooking. You know? So it's a very big illusion. Very, very big illusion. Because of karma and jnana. So we think, yes, if we have material facility, that's successful. So the more material facility, the more material knowledge, then I'll be successful in devotional service. Or the intellectual side, the jnana. Oh, yes, the more knowledge, the more that, then I'll know be more. No. These are things you use. They're nice. You have them, you use them. You don't have them, why would you endeavor for them? Because if you don't have them, you don't have them. You know? Does that make sense? So it's just the way it is. You can endeavor to use what you have to the best of your ability. And that's what you can do. Because even then, even according to nature, you have a particular area you work in, and you have a particular depth you can go in that area. Like, let's say someone's a businessman, but all he can do is run a little pawn shop. But it's still the same category, the decision he's making, everything is the same context and concept of the guy who's running the multinational business. It's just he doesn't have the depth to go that far, but he's a businessman. So, something else. Sophie?
Yes, I was thinking to ask if we teach, for example, two students, we put an effort.
Yes.
When we teach 20 students, teacher puts the same amount of effort.
Yes.
And if it's, you know, like 2,000 students, is it the same in teaching or it's also categorized?
It's basically means 2,000 people could listen to the class, but how many you're able to engage, how many you're able to affect, because in here it's more we're exposing them to the chit potency. Right. And so then the chit potency doesn't have that limit. You know, it's just like, Srila Prabhupada gave a class, you know, back in the 60s. And then you're hearing them today. Thousands of people hear them today, and they're getting effect today. So the chit potency, what I would say would limit it is it 2,000 people sitting and listening, or are all 2,000 registered? So the point is how many registered students, therefore how many essays you can deal with. That's what limits your class. So now if you're somebody who, okay, I can only do, let's just say, for example, you know, you're talking about that 2,000. I can only do, let's say, 20 in a week. But, you know, out of these 2,000 students, there's, you know, 100 students that I could get each of them to do 20 a week. You know?
Yeah.
And so in that way, it gets done. You know, but not everybody can do that. Just like the quality of let's say, knowledge that's being given by, let's say, Bharadvaj or I can't even remember the names, but like that, or by Vishishta is the same. But just Vishishta can take care of, manage 10,000 disciples, while Bharadvaj, he just has a smaller ashram. Like that. He can help organize a kingdom. Well, Bharadvaj, you know, maybe could, but isn't interested. So it's just a matter of what you can do. You just have to see. But as far as the volume, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's just like you can give a class in the temple and, 10 devotees show up, or you give a class during Gaur Purnima and there's, 500 devotees there. It doesn't matter. The knowledge is the same. It means you'll go by the flavor, the mood of the overall mix. And so then you'll have to address that. Like you'll see is that we'll be talking one way, a complete one flavor, and going into the points in one way, and somebody else walks into the room and sits down, and suddenly the flavor changes, and things that we don't need to hear explained are being explained. Just because the mood changes, the flavor changes. So it's just as long as you can catch that, but in any case, even if you can't, you just talk about Krishna and it'll be successful. There were Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had some disciples. They went invited to some meeting. Some questions came up. They got a little strong about, our famous Calcutta Pujari and his assistant. And they got chased out of the village. So some other devotees were complaining, they got themselves chased out of the village and this and that, and that's not preaching and that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very happy. Says they were sticking, they said the truth like that. People don't like it. Yeah, that's the danger sometimes. You get chased out of town. But he appreciated that they were speaking the truth. This whole day, this thing, don't bother anybody, don't disturb. Yeah, okay, but then why go preach? You could just, we could just do chanting Hare Krishna down the street and don't bother. They walk by every day going to work. One of these days they'll get purified. One of these days they're going to come over and ask, what are you guys doing? So that you can do that. This thing is, we don't bother them, we don't do anything, we just stay out of it. That's just akarma. It means doing nothing. It means you have akarma, meaning spiritual. You're not doing anything material. You're doing engaged in spiritual work. You're doing an activity, but it's not material, it's spiritual. Or you have akarma where you're not doing something spiritual, but you're not doing something material. It's just you're doing nothing. And so that's wrong. So you find the point is you find what you can do and to what degree you can do, and at the same time as Krishna, if it's more than what we've estimated or Krishna wants to expand it, then he always pushes. He has his ways, we have our ways, he has his. We decide, I'm only doing this, and then you find out 200 people signed up for the class. Yeah, we'll keep it small. And then, so when they're sitting on the fence there like that, then, looking underneath.
Russians and Bengalis, they can do it.
Yeah, the elephant's walking by and they stop the elephant and then five of them climb up on top so they can see the class. Yeah, like that. Boats making trouble right on the other elephant. So it's important is that the nature we have is because human life means it fits into these four, right? The varnas and ashrams, that's human. If it's not in there, it's not human. So you don't have outside of that that's human. So therefore, as devotees, that you've inquired about the stream, that's human. Therefore, they'll naturally fit into these four. And so whatever it is, that's what you do. That's how you maintain yourself, and that's the medium you use to do service. If you're talking about, things that are organizational kind of things. You're sitting down and chanting japa, it doesn't matter what your varna is. You're married, it doesn't matter your varna. So one just has to see it. It's a really simple thing. That's all it is. It's what you'll do to maintain varnashram means what you do to maintain yourself, and it also gives an indication on if you're doing activities that require any particular qualification, then you it's according to varna. Right? Giving class is not by varna, giving class is by spiritual understanding. So, thank you. Yeah. So for sadhana and that, it has nothing to do with bhakti. So it's very straightforward. Like that. You know, we'll make it into something big and all that. You know, but what to do? That's the glory of devotional service. Even you're not human, you can still engage in devotional service.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's our saving grace, right? But one shouldn't be proud that, oh, it's better. No, it's just you're in this. It's like that. Like some devotees were making some comments about the Brahmins in India, and Prabhupada said, no, there are Brahmins. They're proper Brahmins in India. You can't just say, oh, they're Brahmins, oh, they're right. No, they may not be devotees, but they're Brahmins, so they'd be respected. Even at Kumbh Mela, some, Mayavadi sannyasis went by. Prabhupada told them, you have to offer obeisances. They're sannyasis. They may be Mayavadis, but they're sannyasis. You don't listen to them, but the ashram has to be respected. So these things are there. You know, Sanatana Goswami respected the king. He's the king. He didn't want to work for him anymore, but he's the king. So it's simple. Material world, it's what it is, you know. You know, a spoon's a spoon, a knife's a knife, a fork's a fork. You know, it's the way it is. You know. They all excel in their own area. You know, ever tried to eat soup with a fork? Not easy.
Yeah.
Right? Unless it's Chinese soup. Then you can eat it with a fork.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't use a fork, they would use chopsticks. Well, that's the first time I went. I was in Beijing. They hand me a bowl of soup, right? Big bowl of soup. And on top is chopsticks. And I'm thinking, where's the spoon? They don't use a spoon. You take the chopsticks, you take out bits, and you pick it up, drink it, take out more bits, drink it. That's it. They don't bother with the spoon. So, yeah. That was quite a, how you say, a learning experience. Okay. 29-159-165. Venkata Bhatta continued. I have been engaged in the service of Lakshmi Narayana, and it is due to their mercy that I have been able to see your lotus feet. Out of your causeless mercy, you have told me the glories of Lord Krishna. No one can reach the end of the opulence, qualities, and forms of the Lord. I can now understand that devotional service unto Lord Krishna is the supreme form of worship. Out of your causeless mercy, you have made my life successful simply by explaining the facts. After saying this, Venkatabhata fell down before the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, embraced him. When the period of Chaturmasya was completed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took permission to leave from Venkatabhata, and after visiting Sri Ranga, he proceeded further towards southern India. Venkatabhata did not want to return home, but also wanted to go with the Lord. It was with great endeavor that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. When he did so, Venkatabhata fell down unconscious. Such are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi at Sri Ranga Kshetra. Right? Because then you can see it's just Radha and Krishna that have come as Lakshmi Narayana. You know, so they're having some fun. You know? That's all. Yes?
So during those 4 months, the young Gopalbhata.
Yes, Gopal Bhatta was there. Yes, he got association like that. So he was there. You know, we hear about speaking with the Father. Probably about Gopal Bhatta, we'll hear that later when he comes up,
yes.
In that detail. But yes, he was there also, Prabodhananda Saraswati. You know, he's the uncle. You know, in other words, he's Venkatabhatta's brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question. It seems that devotees are quite closely related with the Shri.
On which consideration?
Yeah, they're friendly with each other, they respect each other's teachings, they accept each other's teachings. And the devotees
spring out from the mud balloon.
Yes.
And they seem to be distant.
It's just a matter of how much they're accepting or not. Means that is that Lord Chaitanya, it means that any of the lines there's a closeness and any of the lines there's a difference. Because Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, here, during their time, each of the four acharyas in traveling on Parikram came to Navadvip. And here then they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though it's apricot lila. But they still, because of their position, their devotion, they saw the Lord and he gave them each two elements to, you know, make prominent in their sampradaya. He gave them their philosophy and these aspects. Then when he came, he took these two from each of the sampradayas and that's all in the Gaudiyas. That's why we can relate to all of them. You know, so the Madhvas is that worship of Krishna. You know, from the Shris then there'll be the big festivals. Like this. So each sampradaya, there's two qualities. I don't know, they may come up. They will come up here.
Yes.
So at that time, that'll come up. So that's the common points. And then depending upon who they are, because as we see, as we saw from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopu Kumar and Vaikuntha, then it was explained that, you know, that there's basically three levels of realization of the Vaikuntha Vasis. But, you know, it could be anybody from the spirit. Those who can only understand their position can't understand anybody else's. But it doesn't matter because they just function in their circle, so it doesn't matter. Those that function in their circle and can appreciate, you know, accommodate that others are different. You know, they're not going to do anything different, but you're different, it doesn't bother them. The first group, it kind of bothers them, but they don't associate with you, so you don't bother them. The third group can appreciate, you know, the other groups and what is, you know, and just what they're experiencing and tasting and all this. But it doesn't mean they change their group. So we see like Narad Muni, he'll be in that third group. He can appreciate. He goes around. He can see all these things. It's all amazing. So for him, it's just all wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Like that. And so then for him, it works very nicely. So we see here, Venkatabhata was on a higher level. He's the head pujari. You would expect he would be a little bit better at this. You know, one of the daily pujaris might not be able to accept that. You know, you have people, you go to the temple, and yeah, please come in. Otherwise, what are you doing here? You know, so it just depends on the person's realization. So, If you're careful in who you choose, then from the Shris there'll be so many who will appreciate. Generally, they're either like Venkatabhata, the top pujaris. He's like the head pujaris, because they have to deal with everybody else's headspace also. Maybe that's why they're called head pujari, because everybody's on a head trip and trying to get them to do the artik and do the dressing and like that. Yeah. So that's one. And then the other is the philosophers. Like in the Madhvas, the philosopher, the main philosopher, is that he had no problem with us. He'd sit, talk philosophy, discuss things, point out things for us, what's in what books and all these and that, and all these different things. Very nice like that. Head Bajaris would be the same like that. Used to be the editor-in-chief, I think it's still running, the Sudarshan magazine. It's rather Sri Vaishnavs. He very much appreciated the Gaudiyas. He was telling the Jeers, you know, the sannyasis, that it's the Gaudiyas that's going to make it spread. He had a dream about that. And then one day when he was meeting some devotees and all that, and he saw them, and then he saw Prabhupada's picture, and he said, that's the one in the dream. Yeah. So, yeah, and they make no bones about it, but they're Shris. They're not going to adjust from that. But it's generally, if you're dealing with that, it's just like, let's say, even in the Western, in the church, if you deal with theologians, you'll have less difficulty. If you deal with priests, then you might have more. They might be more close-minded. Not doesn't have to be, but you'll generally see, on average, the theologians tend to be more open, and the priests not as open. So you find that sometimes. But I'm sure if you talk to whoever's in charge of the monastery or this or that or like that, they'll be a little more broad-minded. You know. So Yeah, so you just, it's a very individual. So the madhvas, then it just depends upon who you talk to. They're also all in one place. So that may also be another aspect. While the Shris are spread out all over South India, all the madhvas are sitting in Udupi. I mean, all of them. The eight mutts are there, that's where they all are. And they have a few other branches that are around, but you generally no one sees them. You know, it's not places you go. Like, who goes to Subramanya? You know, in some other place. That, you know, basically, it's unknown. But like the Gurukul, that they have, the Madhva Gurukul in Bangalore, they were very favorable. You know, of the mutts, then one was very Pejwar. He was very favorable. Then, I don't know what it was. It's opposite the Krishna Mutt. They were favorable. Where that pundit sat. And I think one other one, maybe where the Raghavacharya. And sometimes he's quoted, Raghavacharya. His samadhi is there. But he just went into the samadhi and it was closed. He's still in there, just meditating. Vira Raghava. Okay. Like that. You know, so it's like it's very individual. Yes, because Madhvacharya, his point, when you're dealing with Mayavadis, he's the man. Because his approach was, you know, those who fit through, fell through the cracks with Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya also very exacting like this, but those who weren't convinced by that, then Madhvacharya had to come in with the big guns. You know, just there's no ground given. So very, very. So he's quoted a lot like that. Also, you see he quotes Ramanuja a lot, you know, and these other acharyas. So whoever is prominent, they're quoted. Point is when there's something uniquely said by them, that's what's quoted. But if Rupa or Jiva or Vishwanath have already said it, we won't quote from them. You know, same like if Jiva Goswami has already given a very clear, you don't need to quote anybody else. You know, but if there's something unique that's there, Vishwanath then brought this out, Sanatana brought this out. So, yeah. Verses 166 to 174. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with Paramananda Puri. 2.9, 166, 168. When the Lord arrived at Rishabha Hill, he saw the temple of Lord Narayana and offered obeisances and various prayers. Paramananda Puri had stayed at Rishabha Hill during the 4 months of the rainy season, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately went to see him. Upon meeting Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him all respects, touching his lotus feet, and Paramananda Puri embraced the Lord in ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada. Rishabha Hill, Ana Gada Malaya Parvata, lies 12 miles north of Madurai city, in the district of Madurai in southern Tamil Nadu. It is one of the mountains known as the Kutakachalas. Nearby Rishabha Hill is the forest where Lord Rishabdev burned himself to ashes. Udriti. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 9:13-15 purport. Paramananda Puri belonged to a Brahmin family of the Trihut district in Uttar Pradesh. Madhavendra Puri was a spiritual master. Wow. In relationship with Madhavendra Puri, Paramananda Puri was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Antya Lila, there is the following statement. Amongst his sannyasi disciples, Ishwara Puri and Paramananda Puri were very dear to Madhavendra Puri. Thus, Paramananda Puri, like Swarup Damodar, who was also a sannyasi, was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was his constant associate. When Lord Chaitanya accepted the renounced order, Paramananda Puri offered him the danda. Paramananda Puri was always engaged in meditation, and Sri Swarup was always engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like, you know, because here, one's chanting and one's remembering. Like Prahlad Maharaj, his point is remembering the Lord. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered full respect to his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, he similarly respected Paramananda Puri and Sarup Damodar. It is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila, Chapter 3, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first saw Paramananda Puri, he made the following statement. My eyes, my mind, my religious activities and acceptance of the sannyas order have now all become perfect because today Madhavendra Puri is manifest before me in the form of Paramananda Puri. The Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat further states, thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged respectful obeisances with Paramananda Puri, who is very dear to him. Paramananda Puri established a small monastery behind the western side of the Jagannath temple, where he had a well dug to supply water. The water, however, was bitter, and therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to Lord Jagannath to allow Ganges water to come into the well and make it sweet. When Lord Jagannath granted the request, Lord Chaitanya told all the devotees that from that day hence, the water of Paramananda Puri's well should be celebrated as Ganges water, for any devotee who would drink it or bathe in it would certainly get the same benefit as that derived from drinking or bathing in the waters of the Ganges. Such a person would certainly develop pure love of Godhead. It is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, I am living in this world only on account of the excellent behavior of Sri Paramananda Puri. End quote. The Sri Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, verse 118, states, Puri Sri Paramananda Ya Asit Uddhava Pura. Paramananda Puri is none other than Uddhava. Uddhava was Lord Krishna's friend and uncle, and in the Chaitanya Lila, the same Uddhava became the friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his uncle in terms of their relationship in the disciplic succession. Right? So they, very, very amazingly how it's arranged that the same relationships remain. You know, but just how it's set up is maybe different. 29169-174. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with Paramananda Puri in the Brahman's house where he was residing. The two of them passed 3 days there discussing topics of Krishna. Paramananda Puri informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was going to see Purushottam at Jagannath Puri. After seeing Lord Jagannath there, he would go to Bengal to bathe in the Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told him, please return to Jagannath Puri, for when I return there very soon from Rameshwara, Setubandha, it is my desire to stay with you, and therefore if you would return to Jagannath Puri, you would show great mercy to me. After talking in this way with Paramananda Puri, the Lord took his permission to leave and, very pleased, departed for southern India. Thus Paramananda Puri started for Jagannath Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began walking towards Sri Shaila. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, which Sri Shaila is being indicated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not clearly understood. There is no temple of Mallikarjuna in this area because the Sri Shaila located in the district of Dwarwad cannot possibly be there. That Sri Shaila is on the southern side of Belgaum, and the Shiva temple of Mallikarjuna is located there. Refer to text 15 of this chapter. It is said that on that hill Lord Shiva lived with Devi. Also, Lord Brahma lived there with all the demigods. So that's why I said, he's just making the points where he's gone and these pastimes and that. So the order they're in doesn't really matter. You know, we make, oh no, but it's not in order, how can we talk? No, it doesn't matter, because it's about how the Lord dealt with the devotees when he was there. How did he preach? How did he interact? That's what's important. So if this happened to be later than this point, then it doesn't matter. Verses 175-218. Lord Chaitanya and Ramadas Vipra. 29175-178. And Sri Shaila, Lord Shiva and his wife Durga lived in the dress of Brahmanas. And when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became very pleased. Lord Shiva, dressed like a brahmana, gave alms to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him to spend 3 days in a solitary place. Sitting there together, they talked very confidentially. After talking with Lord Shiva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his permission to leave and went to Kamakoshtipuri. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at southern Mathura from Kamakoshti, he met a brahmana, Srila Prabhupada. Southern Mathura, presently known as Madurai, is situated on the banks of the Bhagai River. This place of pilgrimage is specifically meant for the devotees of Lord Shiva. Therefore, it is called Shaiva Kshetra. That is, the place where Lord Shiva is worshipped. In this area, there are mountains and forests. There are also two Shiva temples, one known as Rameshwara and the other known as Sundeshwara. There is also a temple to Devi called Meenakshi Devi Temple, which displays very great architectural craftsmanship. It was built under the supervision of the kings of the Pandya dynasty. And when the Muslims attacked this temple, as well as the temple of Sundareshwara, great damage was done. In the Christian era, Christian year 1372, a king named Kampana Budayara reigned on the throne of Madurai. Long ago, Emperor Kulakshetra ruled this area, and during his reign, he established a colony of brahmanas. A well-known king named Anantaguna Pandya is the 11th generation descendant of Emperor Kulakshetra. The Brahmin who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. This Brahmana, Ramadas Vipra, was a great devotee and an authority on Sri Ramachandra. He was always detached from material activities. After bathing in the river Kritamala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Brahmin's house to take lunch, but he saw that the food was unprepared because the Brahmin had not cooked it. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, please tell me why you have not cooked. It is already noon." The Brahmin replied, "My dear lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking. When Lakshman brings all the vegetables, fruits, and roots from the forest, Sita will do the necessary cooking." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the Brahmin's method of worship. Finally, the Brahmin hastily made arrangements for cooking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his lunch at about 3 o'clock, but the Brahmin, being very sorrowful, fasted. While the Brahmin was fasting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you fasting? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried?" The Brahmin replied, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water." "My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune. She has been touched by the demon Ravana, and I am troubled upon hearing this news." "Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Please do not think this way any longer. You are a learned pandit. Why don't you consider the case?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no materialist has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravana kidnapped her, he kidnapped only her material illusory form. As soon as Ravana arrived before Sita, she disappeared. Then, just to cheat Ravana, she sent an illusory material form. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and the Puranas." Srila Prabhupada, as stated in the Katha Upanishad 2, 3, 9, and 12. Na shandrishe tishtati rupam asya, na chakshusha pashyati kashchanayinam, Rida Manisha Manasa Bhib Klipto Yaeta Vidur Amritas Te Bhavanti Naiva Vacha Na Manasa Praptum Shakyo Na Chakshusha. So they're the Kli. See that K with the L with the dot? That L, it's R-I. L-R-I. Clarity. Yeah. Like that. That you used to be in the thing that told how the Sanskrit letters work. You know, in the appendix. So it used to be there. But somehow or another they removed it. Because in modern Sanskrit and the kind of general Sanskrit schools, they don't bother with it. So it's right here. Spirit is not within the jurisdiction of material eyes, words, or mind. These are some Vedic statements about spiritual substance. Spiritual substance cannot be seen by the unintelligent because they do not have the eyes or the mentality to see the spirit soul. Consequently, they think there's no such thing as spirit. Right? That's the thing, because if they can't see it with their eyes, or that way judge, then they think it doesn't exist. So in the same way as if they think if I can't understand my intelligence, it doesn't exist. But the followers of the Vedic injunctions take their information from Vedic statements, such as the verses from the Katha Upanishad quoted above. 29135. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmana, "Have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Srila Prabhupada. This is the process of spiritual understanding. Achintya kalu ye bhava natams tarkena yojayet. We should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument and counter-argument. Mahajano yena kata sapantaha. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities coming down in the parampara system. We approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words. Spiritual realization will be easy. Okay. 29196 197. Although the Brahmin was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. After thus assuring the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvashana, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. Srila Prabhupada. Presently, the river Kritamala is known as the river Bhagai or Vaigai. This river has three tributaries, namely Suruli, Varaha Nadi, and Bhatila Gundi. The river Kritamala is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.39 by the sage Karabhajana. Udriti. My dear king, the inhabitants of Satyaloka and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayana. These devotees will appear in various places, but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of Men, in the age of Kali, those persons who drink the water of the holy rivers of Dravida Desha, such as the Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payashvini, the extremely pious Kaveri, and the Pratichi Mahanadi will almost all be pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. In general, those who are able to regularly drink the waters of the holy rivers of South India will be pure-hearted devotees of Lord Vasudeva. The word praya, or in general, indicates that those who are offensive to the Lord's devotees, although claiming themselves to be devotees, are not included within the list of the amala shayaha, or pure-hearted souls. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that one should not be bewildered by seeing the apparently poverty-stricken condition of the inhabitants of South India. Even nowadays, the inhabitants of the places mentioned in this verse generally spend their days with meager eating and clothing and live as great renounced devotees of the Supreme Lord. In other words, clothes do not make the man. Okay. To live as a polished animal, dressing oneself luxuriously and gratifying the tongue with rich foodstuffs is not the actual symptom of an advanced transcendentalist. Although the residents of South India are generally Sri Vaishnavas, or devotees in the Lakshmi Sampradaya, They are recognized as devotees of the Lord by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, their austere living conditions should be taken as a good qualification, not a disqualification. 29198. At Durvashana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra, and on the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, he saw Lord Parasurama, Srila Prabhupada. In Durvashana, or Darbashayana, also known as Tirupulani. Tirupulani. Yeah? They still call it that? No idea. Okay. Which is 7 miles east of Ramnad. It is the temple of Lord Ramachandra. The hill known as Mahendra Shaila is near Tirunelveli. And at the end of this hill, yes, yeah, is a city known as Tiruchendur. West of Mahendra Shaila is the territory of Tribankura. There is mention of Mahendra Shaila in the Ramayana. 29199. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setubandha, Rameshwara, where he took his bath at the place called Danush Tirtha. From there he visited the Rameshwara temple and then took rest. Srila Prabhupada. The path from Mandapa through the ocean to the island known as Pambam consists partly of sand and partly of water. The island of Pambam is about 17 miles long and 6 miles wide. On this island, 4 miles north of Pambam harbor, is Setubandha, where the temple of Rameshwara is located. This is the temple of Lord Shiva, and the name Rameshwara indicates that he is a great personality whose worshipable deity is Lord Ram. Thus, the Lord Shiva found in the temple of Rameshwara is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. It is said, Devi Patanam Arabhya Gacheyu Setu Bandhanam. After visiting the temple of the goddess Durga, one should go to the temple of Rameshwara.
Lord Ram stood by the ocean and worshiped Lord Shiva and
I think so. That's the. In this area, there are 24 different holy places, one of which is Danush Tirtha, located about 12 miles southeast of Rameshwara. It is near the last station of the Southern Indian Railway, a station called Ramnad. It is said that here, on the request of Ravana's younger brother, Vibhishana, Lord Ramachandra destroyed the bridge to Lanka with his bow while returning to his capital. It is also said the one who visits Danush Tirtha is liberated from the cycle of birth and death, and that one who bathes there gets all the fruit of results of performing the yajna known as Agni Shtoma. Yeah, because otherwise people would be marching over the bridge and coming to Lanka and bothering, because it's the place of gold. I mean, you know, they'd want to come in there, buy land, set up resorts, you know, the whole thing. So he asked Lord Ramachandra to remove the bridge. Okay. Otherwise the bridge was going to stand for a very long time. It was given the benediction. But Vibhishana asked him to remove the bridge. Okay. Yes.
All right. Present-day Ceylon, however they call it, Sri Lanka. It's not the Sri Lanka we read.
No. It may have gone. If that island's there, it's there, it's mentioned. It means there were Ceylonese there in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Those warriors were there. So it's known as Ceylon. You know, that was the name. That was called. They call it Sri Lanka. Why, I don't know. But
British.
Sorry?
British changed the name?
Maybe. They change everything.
Ceylon sounds more British than Sri Lanka.
Sorry?
Ceylon sounds more British than Sri Lanka.
Yeah, so I have that. So in other words, if you're building a bridge south and there's an island there, why you wouldn't go through the island? It's not a problem. So that it goes over to there, but it doesn't mean that they only check that. They never look on the other side keeping going. You know, because this side will be shallow, the other side will be very deep. And so if the bridge, you know, because they've seen in some kind of satellite pictures, okay, they can see the bridge, but only up to there, because the other side will be too deep. But if they go down, they'll see the bridge continues. But it's hidden so that they don't bother Vibhishana. It's also, he's given the benediction that, I'm not sure if it's all the time or in Kali Yuga, you can't see Lanka like that. It's there, but you can't see it. Nobody sees it. There, among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that only two khandas of the Kurma Purana are now available, namely the Purvakanda and Uttarakanda. Sometimes it is said that the Kurma Purana contains 6,000 verses, but according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the original Kurma Purana contained 17,000 verses. It is considered the 15th of the 18 Mahapuranas. Okay, so different ones, parts of them are there, and this and that. 29201-218. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janaka. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita, and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god, Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravana had kidnapped the false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god, Agni, took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, Goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. After Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire and tested. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramdas Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from the Kurma Purana, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmana's permission, he took possession of the manuscript leaves of the Kurma Purana. Since the Kurma Purana is very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied into two new leaves in order that the Purana be replaced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he left them a new copy, right? So because the other one was very old and might disintegrate, so he made new ones, so then they would have it. So then he had the original, and then whether he took the other copy with him or like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to southern Madurai and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Purana to Rama Das Vipra. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravana, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Footnote 46. These two verses are taken from the Kurma Purana. Ramdas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original leaf manuscript of the Kurma Purana and immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. Okay, so he got that, and then the temple got the copy and Lord Chaitanya took the copy. After receiving the manuscript, the Brahman, being very pleased, said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself, and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, you have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation. Due to my mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now, by good fortune, you have come again to my home." Hmm? Saying this, the Brahmin very happily cooked food, and the first class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that night in the house of the Brahmin. Then, after showing him mercy, the Lord started towards the Tamrapani River in Pandya Desha. Right, so he's gone down, and then he was, you know, heading.
So, Lord Chaitanya did not eat any one of the Brahmin.
Yes.
Only Brahmin.
That's all we see, because that's the rule.
It
means that the sannyasis, then they do. And so theirs, because people may comment otherwise. For us, it's devotees, because devotees are accepted as Brahmins. And so in the culture, no one's going to complain. But in those days, people knew everybody, and they may be a devotee, that's fine. But if they weren't a Brahmin, they would complain that he's a sannyasi, because the sannyasi is an external designation, so you have to follow the rules for that. But nowadays, then we just follow that it's devotees. And that way they're Brahmins.
My understanding is the reason why you ate at the home of the Brahmin is because Brahmin has worshipped the deity and he did not eat anything else.
Yeah, that would be there, but others might, but it's just the general rule. Brahmins just eat at houses of Brahmins. And so then, for the Brahmacharis, Vanaprastha Sannyasis, they're following the rules of Brahmins. So that's what they do. You know, and Grihastha Brahmins also would follow the same. Okay.
Okay. It seems that Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was quite friendly with many personalities.
Yes.
Wanted to raise them, to inspire them to do the service. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he's Adi Guru, so he's sitting in their heart. So then, here's an opportunity he can serve.
Many devotees wanted to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, leave the family, to join.
Oh yes. No, that's just because the taste is so much greater. So, but you know, he tells them, you know, you live there, because if they stay in their place, they'll preach to everybody around, and then that whole place will become devoted, as we saw, you know, earlier. Because he explained it once. It's not that this doesn't happen at these other places, but he was saying is that he goes to a place, he talks to the people there, they become Krishna conscious, they go to their houses, then others hearing about them being such advanced, they come to hear from them, and that way it expands. And so he explained all that. So these same things would be going on now, but that he's just, you know, what's unique about the place and everything that's there. They're still with us, or? Yeah? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Pandya Desh is situated in the southern part of India, known as Kerala and Kola. In all these areas, there are many kings. In all these areas, there were many kings with the title Pandya who ruled over Madurai and Rameshwara. In the Ramayana, the Tamrapani River is mentioned. The Tamrapani is known as the Purunai, known as the Purunai, flows through the Tirunelveli before entering the Bay of Bengal. The Tamrapani River is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.39, quoted above in 197. Verses 119 to 233. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interaction with the Bhattataris. Okay, see, now we're over on Kerala's side. Because before we said, no, there's these guys? No. We're in Tamil Nadu and Andhra. No. You have to go to Kerala to get all the tantrics, right? There were 9 temples of Lord Vishnu at Naya Tripati on the bank of the river Tamrapani. And after bathing in the river, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities with great curiosity and wandered on. Srila Prabhupada. The nine Vishnu temples known as Naya Tripati, Nava Tirupati. The Nava Tirupati. That's far out. Are situated in and around Alwar Tirunagarai. This is a town about 17 miles southeast of Tirunelveli. All the deities of the temples assemble together during a yearly festival in the town. Yes, so many times you see it's a very common practice in South that they'll be in a particular area, and sometimes they have a big festival where all the deities from all the temples, they all come in their palanquins and come together at one place. You know, there's some, I think that some islands, you know, in the river or some other temple that's considered, I guess, the major temple and that. And then they have a big festival there and people come there for, you know, many days and everything. And then after that, they all go back to their own temple.
Is there a meaning about Tiru? Tiru comes very often.
Tiru.
Tiru.
Tiru. I don't know. No? Don't know anything. Verses 2:19 to 2. We just started that. Okay. 2:9 to 20. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a holy place known as Chiaratala, where he saw the deities of the two brothers, Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana. He then proceeded to Tilakanchi, where he saw the temple of Lord Shiva, Srila Prabhupada. Chiaratala is sometimes known as Cheratala. It is near the city of Kaila, and there is a temple there dedicated to Lord Sri Ramachandra and his brother Lakshmana. Tilakanchi, Tenkashi, is about 30 miles northeast of the city of Tirunelveli. 29221. Yeah, south they have these wild names. Just it's harder to pronounce. Sorry? Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of like you roll the tongue a lot, so that these words that you have to you roll the tongue to say. So in the north, they don't use that as much. So just, you know, not, don't have the practice. But so they have a very light, you know, the tongue is very light. You know.
Sounds a bit like a ballad, all those names.
Yeah, could be. I mean, it is towards the south, so it's a, they don't get it together. Next life, Sicily, or... You know.
In Kerala, they've kept this, they've bend it, and this is the short name.
Which one?
Trivandrum.
Yeah. No, that's
the right name.
Oh no, that big. That's why you can see why the British just you know. Yeah, just cut the whole thing. They couldn't say. You know, they can't say it anyway, let alone that. You know.
They told me 20 times too.
Yeah, somehow or another, of languages, English doesn't have a very light tongue. It's like really, it can't deal with all these finer points.
Yeah. That's why those who originally from that side speaking English, you can always see the accent.
Yeah.
In other nations, some people like so good, you can't. You
can't tell, but them,
you
can't
feel the accent.
Yeah.
But English is very heavy, kind of strong accent.
Yeah, no, it's just that. Much of the time, those who. English is their first language, can't learn another language. But if they knew another one and know English, they can, you know, they can continue learning. But some can. But generally it's hard because it just, they don't have grammar and they don't have the ability to say, they can't even talk English, let alone other things.
Some say that people are proud that their own homeland and language can't learn another.
They cannot. They're proud, yeah. I don't know, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That they would qualify on that one. That would. Yeah, they can't learn it. But generally in Europe, they're so close to each other, then they know different.
Yeah,
it's easier. That's because they're not technically near anyone. They're across the channel. So because of that, then. Oh yeah, no, that's classic. That's really classic.
Do they understand?
I wouldn't be able to say. I have no idea. I kind of vaguely remember sometimes he says something, then they turn to me and I have to tell him what he said. back in the 80s and stuff like that. I kind of remember that sometimes.
But
who? Yeah, yeah. Well, because they're born here. They're Bengalis, technically. And as kids, you grow up with all the Bengalis. Your parents might speak, but all the kids speak Bengali. And all the ma's that hang around, and all that, they're all Bengali, so. Maybe not now, but then it was all there was a handful of Westerners, and everybody else was Bengali. Yeah, so they speak very nice. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the place called Gajendra Mokshana, where he went to a temple of Lord Vishnu. He then came to Panagadi, a holy place where he saw the deities of Lord Ramachandra and Sita. Srila Prabhupada, the Gajendra Mokshana temple is sometimes mistaken for a temple of Lord Vishnu. Shiva. Okay. It is about 2 miles south of the city of Kaivera. Nagar Koil. Actually, the deity is not of Shiva, but of Vishnu. Panagadi, Panakudi, is about 30 miles south of Tirunelveli. Maybe one of these days I'll get it. It's like 10th time it's come up. Formerly, the temple there contained the deity of Sri Ramachandra, but later the devotees of Lord Shiva replaced Lord Ramachandra, the deity of Lord Shiva, named Rameshwara or Rama Linga Shiva. 29222. Later, the Lord went to Chamtapura, where he saw the deities of Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana. He then went to Sri Vaikuntha and saw the temple of Lord Vishnu there. Srila Prabhupada. Chamtapura, sometimes called Chenganur, is located in the state of Kerala. The temple of Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana is located there. Sri Vaikuntha, about 4 miles north of Alwar, Tirunagarai, and 16 miles south of Tirunelveli, is situated on the bank of the Tamraparni River. Okay. 29223. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Malaya Parvata and offered prayers to Agastya Muni. He then visited Kanyakumari, Cape Comorin. Srila Prabhupada. The range of mountains in South India, beginning at Kerala and extending to Cape Comorin, is called Malaya Parvata. Concerning Agastya, there are 4 opinions. 1. There is a temple of Agastya Muni in the village of Agastyam Pali in the district of Tanjore. 2. There is a temple of Lord Skanda on a hill known as Shivagiri, and this temple is said to have been established by Agastya Muni. 3. Some say that the hill near Cape Comorin, known as Patiya, served as Agastya Muni's residence. 4. There is a place known as Agastya Malaya, which is a range of hills on both sides of the Tamraparni River. Cape Comorin itself is also known as Kanyakumari. 29224. After visiting Kanyakumari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Amlitala, where he saw the deity of Sri Ramachandra. Thereafter, he went to a place known as Malara Desha, where a community of Bhattataris lived. Srila Prabhupada. North of Malara Desha is South Kannada. To the east are Coorg and Mysore. To the south is Cochin, and to the west is the Arabian Sea. As far as the Bhattataris are concerned, they are a nomadic community. They camp wherever they like and have no fixed place of residence. Outwardly, they take up the dress of sannyasis, but their real business is stealing and cheating. They allure others to supply women for their camp, and they cheat many women and keep them within their community. In this way, they increase their population. In Bengal, also, there is a similar community. Actually, all over the world, there are nomadic communities whose business is simply to allure, cheat, and steal innocent women. 29225. So it's popular. After visiting Malara Desh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Tamala Kartika, and then to Veta Pani, where he saw the temple of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra, and passed the night. Srila Prabhupada, Tamala Kartika is 44 miles south of Tirunelveli and 2 miles south of Aramavali Mountain. It is located within the jurisdiction of Tovalai. At Tamal Kartika is the temple of Subramanya, or Lord Kartik, the son of Lord Shiva. Okay. Vetapani, or Vatapani, is north of Kaila in the Tamil Nadu state. It is also known as Bhutapandi and is within the jurisdiction of the Tobala district. It is understood that formerly there was a deity of Lord Ramachandra there. Later the deity was replaced with the deity of Lord Shiva known as Rameshwara or Bhutanatha. 29226233. You can see is they also have their favorite names of deities, so all of them are Rameshwara. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accompanied by his servant, Krishnadas. He was a Brahmana, but he met with the Bhattataris there. With women, the Bhattataris allured the Brahmana Krishnadas, who was simple and gentle. By virtue of their bad association, they polluted his intelligence. Allured by the Bhattataris, Krishnadas went to their place early in the morning. The Lord also went there very quickly just to find him. Upon reaching their community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bhattataris, Why are you keeping my Brahmana assistant? I am in the renounced order of life, and so are you, yet you are purposely giving me pain, and I do not see any good logic in this. Upon hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Bhattataris came running from all sides with weapons in their hands, desiring to hurt the Lord. However, their weapons fell from their hands and struck their own bodies. When some of the Bhattataris were thus cut to pieces, the others ran away in the four directions. While there was much roaring and crying at the Bhattatari community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed Krishnadas by the hair and took him away. Verses 2, 3, 4, 2, 4, 1. The Lord discovers chapter 5 of the Brahma Samhita. 29, 234, 240. That very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his assistant Krishnadas arrived at the bank of the Payashvini River. They took their bath and then went to see the temple of Adi Keshava. When the Lord saw the Adi Keshava temple, he was immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy. Offering various obeisances and prayers, he chanted and danced. All the people there were greatly astonished to see the ecstatic pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all received the Lord very well. In the temple of Adikeshava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed spiritual matters among highly advanced devotees. While there, he found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find a chapter of that scripture, and symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance, and jubilation were manifest in his body. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in the Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all the Vaishnava literatures. Srila Prabhupada. The Brahma Samhita is a very important scripture. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acquired the fifth chapter from the Adikeshava temple. In that fifth chapter, the philosophical conclusion of the Chintabheda-Bheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, is presented. This chapter also presents methods of devotional service, the 18-syllable Vedic hymn, discourses on the soul, the supersoul, and fruit of activity, an explanation of Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, and the original Mahavishnu, and a detailed description of the spiritual world, specifically Goloka Vrindavan. The Brahma Samhita also explains the demigod Ganesh, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the origin of the Gayatri Mantra, the form of Govinda, and his transcendental position and abode, the living entities, the highest goal, the goddess Durga, the meaning of austerity, the five gross elements, love of Godhead, impersonal Brahman, the initiation of Lord Brahma, and the vision of transcendental love, enabling one to see the Lord. The steps of devotional service are also explained. The mind, Yoga Nidra, the goddess of fortune, devotional service and spontaneous ecstasy, incarnations beginning with Lord Ramachandra, deities, the conditioned soul and its duties, the truth about Lord Vishnu, prayers, Vedic hymns, Lord Shiva, the Vedic literature, personalism and impersonalism, good behavior, and many other subjects are also discussed. There is also a description of the sun and the universal form of the Lord. All these subjects are conclusively explained in a nutshell in the Brahma Samhita. 241. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita, and then, with great pleasure, he went to a place known as Anantapadmanabha. Yeah, so someone before had mentioned that, you know, we say there's Brahma Samhita, but the devotees, when they last time they went south, they went to this Adikeshava. And the Pujaris there, when they see us, they mention about this is where Brahma Samhita is from. So the Shris also admit that that's where it's from. So, yeah.
There were 100 chapters.
Originally 100, but only the fifth was left.
Is there any indication of the content of any of the other chapters?
I haven't heard, but this is what's important because it gives all the conclusions. Because a lot of times in the beginning something, you'll give very essential points and all that. So that's what's there. So more will be more detail and all that. So we have enough trouble with Brahma Samhita. So. Srila Prabhupada. Concerning Anantapadmanabha, once you refer to Madhya Lila chapter 1, text 115, Udriti. The temple of Anantapadmanabha Vishnu is situated in the Trivandrum district, Thiruvananthapuram. That's the one? Yeah, it's so long. Huh? This temple is very famous in those quarters. Another Vishnu temple named Sri Janardana is situated about 26 miles north of the Trivandrum district, near the railway station called Varkala. Verses 242-278. Lord Chaitanya and the Udupi Tattvavadis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 2 or 3 days at Anantapadmanabha and visited the temple there. Then in great ecstasy he went to see the temple of Sri Janardana, Srila Prabhupada. The temple of Sri Janardana is situated 26 miles north of Trivandrum, near the Varkala railway station. Okay. 2-9-243-244. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced at Sri Janardana for 2 days. He then went to the bank of the Payasvini River and visited the temple of Shankara Narayana. Then he saw the monastery known as Sringeri Math, the abode of Acharya Shankara. He then visited Matsya Tirtha, a place of pilgrimage, and took a bath in the river Tungabhadra. Srila Prabhupada. The monastery known as Sringeri Math is situated in the state of Karnataka, in the district of Chikmagalur. This monastery is located at the confluence of rivers Tunga and Bhadra, 7 miles south of Hariharapura. The real name of this place is Sringa Giri, or Sringa Vere Puri, and it is the headquarters of Shankaracharya. And somehow or another, from Sringera Puri, it's just become Sringeri. That was considered to be the main. Badri. Dwarka, yes. So it's the one in the south, it's the main. But at some point then, I think they had some problems, so they weren't there for some time, and they were down in Kanchi. Then they had the Kamakoti Pitam. They have that was there for some time, and then after I think the problems were over, they moved back. But I think it might have been some 100 or 200 years. So that mat remained. But then somehow or another you have those as Sringeri saying that's not one of our mats. Even though that used to be technically Sringeri so it was a head. So then, because they're not, they just function on their own. So their own kind of mat. Yeah. Shankaracharya had 4 principal disciples, and he established 4 centers under their management. In North India at Bhadarika Ashrama, the monastery named Jyotirmat was established. At Purushottama, the Bhogavardhana or Govardhan monastery was established. In Dwarka, the Sharada monastery was established. And the 4th monastery established in South India is known as Sringeri Mat. In the Sringeri Math, the sannyasis assume the designations Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri. They are all Ekadandi sannyasis, distinguished from the Vaishnava sannyasis, who are known as Tridandi sannyasis. The Sringeri Math is situated in South India, in a portion of the country comprising Andhra, Dravida, Karnataka, and Kerala. Right, so it must be right there on the border of all those. I guess the Tungabhadra and they make the borders or something. Community is called Bhurivara, and the dynasty is called Bhurbhuva. The place is called Rameshwara, and the slogan is Aham Brahmasmi. The deity is Lord Varaha, and the energetic power is Kamakshi. The Acharya is Hastamalaka, and the Brahmacharya assistants of the sannyasis are known as Chaitanya. The place of pilgrimage is called Tungabhadra, and the subject for Vedic study is the Yajurveda. So it must be each one of them had their own Veda also. Regarding Shankaracharya, it is understood that he was born in the year 608 of the Shakabda era, in the month of Vaishakh, in the 3rd day of the waxing moon, in a place in South India known as Kalari. His father's name was Shiva Guru, and he lost his father at an early age. When Shankaracharya was only 8 years old, he completed his studies of all the scriptures and took sannyas from Govinda, who was residing on the banks of the Narmada. After accepting sannyas, Shankaracharya stayed with his spiritual master for some days. He then took his permission to go to Varanasi, and from there he went to Bhadarika Ashrama, where he stayed until his 12th year. While there, he wrote a commentary on the Brahma Sutra, as well as on the 10 Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. He also wrote Sanat Sujatiya and a commentary on the Nisringa Tapani. Among his many disciples, his 4 chief disciples are Padmapada, Sureshwara, Hastamalaka, and Trotaka. After departing from Varanasi, Shankaracharya went to Prayag, where he met a great learned scholar called Kumarila Bhatta. Shankaracharya wanted to discuss the authority of the scriptures, but Kumarila Bhatta, being on his deathbed, sent them to his disciple Mandana in the city of Mahishmati. It was there that Shankaracharya defeated Mandana Mishra in a discussion of the Shastras. Mandana had a wife named Saraswati, or Ubhaya Bharati, who served as mediator between Shankaracharya and her husband. It is said that she wanted to discuss erotic principles and amorous love with Shankaracharya. But Shankaracharya had been a brahmachari since birth and therefore had no experience in amorous love. He took a month's leave from the Ubhaya Bharati and by his mystic power entered the body of a king who had just died. In this way, Shankaracharya experienced the erotic principles. After attaining this experience, he wanted to discuss erotic principles with Ubhaya Bharati. But without hearing his discussion, she blessed him and assured the continuous existence of the Sringeri Math. Right? Because the point was, she wouldn't let him talk to her husband unless she first defeated her. Then she could talk to the husband. And she figured, because he's sannyasi, he won't know these things, and so then, you know, he'll just go away. She then took leave of material life. Afterwards, Mandana Mishra took the order of sannyas from Shankaracharya and became known as Sureshwara. Okay, he was the second one. Shankaracharya defeated many scholars throughout India and converted them to his Mayavad philosophy. He left his material body at the age of 33. As far as Matsya Tirtha is concerned, it was supposedly situated beside the ocean in the district of Malabar. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.